All right, yo, it's another Speak On It episode. It's your boy Skip.
Yo.
It's been a while since, I didn't have my boy Kai on the podcast. We have a special guest today, but y'all know where to follow me at on the gram, AKO underscore underscore. And I got the crew with
You
me.
got two underscores?
Yeah.
That's great.
Hey,
Wait, hold on. First of all, I would just start with one. I'd be like, oh shit, I can't find you, bro.
No, for real, bro. Like, I had to put two. I don't know why. Like, I guess somebody had to name or something, but I had to throw
All
two
right,
on
for
there.
sure. Keep going, keep going. Oh shit.
Go ahead, Kai.
Oh yeah, what's good? It's Kai. You can follow me on the gram, Rex underscore Kai. Oh,
that's hot. Yeah. I like that. That's straight to it. See, you hear that, Reese? Yep. Straight to it. It's your boy CP.
Straight to
man.
It.
You can follow me on the gram. CLIFFP3. You feel me? Like fall off a cliff, straight to it. P3 is three of us, homie.
Yep.
So get it straight. Yeah.
Yep. Yes, sir. I know Cliff for a long time,
man.
This is a childhood friend. He's still ugly
all
to this
from,
day.
Bro, yeah.
That's
me
what I'm
and
saying,
Kai
bro.
Go way, well, me and Akil go way back. Me and Ja'Kai go way, way, way back because I used to really live at this nigga's house. Whoa, can I say that? Can I say nigga?
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. No,
like,
you're good.
I used
good.
to live at his house, bro, in Venice.
Dude, that shit's really
like
dope.
No joke, bro. And like Kai was the first person. I'm not even joking. I'm gonna tell you guys two quick stories, like really, really quick.
Uh-huh.
Kai was the first person to make me start getting bounced because I'm not even gonna lie. When I was younger, I used to go to his house. I don't know if anybody knows this, but Kai got a mansion on the beach. Still, bro.
No thanks. Yeah, he got three stories.
Three stories on the beach, right? No joke, bro.
Yeah.
No joke. And I used to look outside, like, damn, like. Kai used to tell me, like, bro, I run this shit sometimes. And I'm like, I'm looking at Kai. I'm like, all right, well, Kai, obviously, Kai ain't got no bounce. So I'm going to try doing this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to try really doing this sand workout shit. Because I used to wake up a little earlier every once in a while because my dad always used to make sure I had money on my card and everything like that. I feel like, no, first of all, I feel like I was the first nigga ever with a debit card. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. Like, I remember I was like, nah.
Really?
Yeah, I ain't have one till like senior year.
Bro, yeah, I didn't have one till high school.
So I was
either.
Like 9 years old with a debit card, bro. And I used to wake up in the morning, bro, and like go grab food. And I used to just run on the beach a little bit. I don't know if Kai used to know that.
That's
on the
crazy.
Low key. And then
Dang.
On the contrast, just give y'all, you feel me, the Kill Reese type, you feel me? Me and Reese used to hit the hacks hella too much almost that it just, you feel me, that was just an overload of hoops.
Bro, they used to question if I used to go to school or not. They used to be like,
bro,
why are you in the gym so much?
And like,
bro, Lionel, I swear Lionel used to ask me that,
bro,
every time.
It was like, you were really in there more than him, bro. We were both like really, we had a residency at the hacks, bro, basically.
No, facts,
and
bro.
I remember
facts.
This.
Just walk in there, get straight to it.
I remember this one game, bro. I don't know if you remember. Now that I'm done hooping, I ain't got no more pride. I can just lay it on the line. Bro, there was one game when I played you, right? And I remember like, people will see me like start to get better and a little bit like that. And you know, it was a kind of little bit of buzz. And I played you. I think I was like probably like eighth grade. And I was working out all summer.
Yeah.
I remember I got one tweet. I remember that. And I played your team, bro. And I was terrible. I was so bad, bro. I was so bad because the whole week I was preparing for the game because I never really been playing against my friends. Like in the circuit, you play against your homies. But you know what team got all your homies on it.
Exactly.
It was your team. I think it was probably Fast Break or another team that he was playing on, bro. And I was.
Bro, if it was 7 years.
Nah, it was either the team with Lionel had formed with me, Stu, Cam, and everybody.
Yes, that team, bro.
Yeah.
All my homies, bro. And I kid you not, bro. Y'all niggas laughed at me so bad. It was like a Cliff sucks type of thing. But, bro, I kid you not, bro. My dad was there, my nigga. Listen to this. My dad walked out the gym.
Bro, your dad used to be hilarious at the games, bro. Oh, my.
Bro, I went home telling my mom, I'm like, Mom, I can't go back to the hats. I can't go back to the hats. All my niggas, I was capping. And I was saying how good I was.
Yep.
I was telling niggas I had offers in 6th, 7th grade. And I went to the gym. And I was, bro, I was so weak, my nigga. Oh, my God.
Bro, we used to all play awkward, though. When we was young, bro, we used to all play awkward.
Bro, but you looked at me, Akil. I will never forget. You looked at me like.
Akil was the most athletic
in the country.
In the city, bro.
But, hey, Akil looked at me that day, was like, damn, nigga, you suck. But, Cliff, I had them days before, my nigga. Don't even trip. Like, don't even trip, bro. Like, you was weak today, my nigga, but I'm going to have your back a little.
I'm gonna
tell Stu and them niggas that you could rock really that week.
Exactly. That's crazy, though, because my mom, like, I used to be weak, too, bro. Like, I contemplated, like, damn, I'm about to give up on this hoop stuff. Like, I was skateboarding and stuff. And
yeah,
so happens that Ilya's coach hit me up, like, yo, come play for my team. I'm like, all right, I'll give it another try. My mom got me a personal trainer, and after that, it was wraps. Like, once I started putting the time in, and that's when I seen my improvement. But, yeah, everybody, you know, we had that time where we all sucked and didn't know what to do.
I remember.
No, hey, wait, hold on, Ja'Kai. Don't even say shit, nigga, because you was a shot hitter, boy. But like, we was looking at you like, oh, this nigga on bars. This nigga, bro,
that's what I'm saying. Kai had a D1 build in eighth grade. 6'5", 210.
He had a D1 build, but he had a terrible foot speed.
Bro, Kai used to look like he was running backwards when he was running. I was like, yo, no bounce.
Bro,
nothing.
He had a strap, though.
Yeah, Kai did have a strap. But it's funny, at Westchester, Kai, he couldn't make no shots at one point, and DeWitt told him he couldn't throw a rock in the ocean if he wanted to.
I went on like a slump in the second half of the season, and everybody just like lost.
Yeah,
Kai was one of them niggas that is like, we know this nigga can shoot no matter how many shots he missed. It's like,
no fact.
He'll go 0-35, but like for every time he shoots, it's like, facts. Oh, it's actually a possibility.
It might go in. No,
thing is, my AAU games were way different than my high school.
No, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
for
sure. I heard that.
You used to get loose in travel ball, but like Westchester was a different story. But you put the time in, bro.
They didn't like me because I couldn't dunk.
No facts. You put the time in, though. You put more time than anybody at a young age.
They didn't like me because I couldn't dunk, man. She was wild.
nobody put more time in than Jamil McGill.
Oh, bro. Oh, my God.
Yo, Jamil worked.
Bro, and he was working so hard. Y'all don't remember, bro, just the people that's listening, this young kid, Jamil McGill, my nigga, this nigga was working so hard that his homies, like, I used to always look at him like, bro, this nigga's weird, bro, go have some fun. But at the same time he was doing that, this nigga was shooting a movie.
That's the crazy part. He popped up in a movie out of nowhere.
Yeah, bro. Like, how cool is that, bro? Like, niggas is looking at me like, oh, this shit. But Jamil did that shit first, homie.
Facts.
Yo, at Westchester, when Jamil went to Westchester, niggas was like, yo, that's that nigga from
Grown Ups.
Yeah.
That shit's hilarious, bro.
Bro, that is hilarious, though. Because all we cared about growing up was just hooping. We didn't care about nothing else.
Hooping and going to the bridge on the weekend.
And going to the bridge.
Oh, and ball is life, nigga.
Ball is life, yep. Isn't it crazy, though, how we look back at it and we look at it now and just like, damn, times have really changed.
Damn, bro. Yeah, bro. This shit is crazy, bro, because niggas transitions and like, everybody I know, especially with you guys doing this stuff and, you know, really staying on it.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they stop playing basketball, bro, and I'm a testament of this, they look at you like, yo, your shit is over. You know what I mean? They look at you like, bro, like, there's no bounce back. And honestly, that's for everything, bro. If you grow up being a dancer in your family and it's that one little girl that's is in ballet her whole life, mm-hmm. and she turns 19 and she has a chance to make it, you know, like further it, and then you just stop.
Yeah.
People are going to look at you like your whole family, your aunties, uncles, they're going to be like, oh, sweeter, like, why are you, oh, it's over. Like, what are you doing now? What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like,
bro,
it's been countless times people like, what are you doing now? And it's like, I almost got to the point where I didn't feel comfortable going out socially because I didn't feel like I hit the milestones that I needed to be able to go out socially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for me to talk, so if I was out, you know, a year from now,
mm-hmm.
just and everybody was seeing me at the clubs, this, that, whatever, and they're saying, what are you doing, Cliff? Bro, I literally had nothing to say, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I could say nothing, bro. I'm transferring schools, but that wasn't the case. I knew that, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just a whole bunch of mix-up. But, like, a lot of people don't know, and that, bro. Like, once you're done playing basketball, nigga, this is what where your life starts. It doesn't mean this is not where your life ends. It's like, here comes your life now.
Just a new chapter. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just a new chapter. Yeah. And that's what I want to say. Like, that's why you have to be well-rounded. And I feel like me experiencing so many damn injuries and whatnot, like, it just made me a better person at the end of the day. Like, I don't have any regrets on anything I've done, but it just, if anything, it's benefited me more because I didn't put all my eggs on basketball. I decided to, you know, start a podcast and branding myself and, like, doing other stuff and, like, you know, find other stuff I like. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. I think for me when I got sick and I had to quit hooping.
I forgot this dude got sick. Bro,
I thought you said got thick. My bad.
Hold on, my nigga.
You got thick? Where the fuck were you at?
Nah. When I got sick and I had to quit hooping, it actually helped me as more of a person. Like, I learned how, like, cause in high school, literally I was just like hoop. Go home, do homework, wake up, run the beach, hoop.
Exactly.
Hoop, and that was about it. Like, I didn't even have any people skills. Like, I couldn't really talk.
Exactly.
Really. And I was just the awkward kid at Westchester. Yeah. But then, like, when I stopped hooping and just went to school, like, I learned how to talk to people, learned things I like more, like clothes and stuff like that.
For sure. That's what people need to realize. Like, that ball, it for sure stopped bouncing at some point in your life. And sometimes it might be in your 20s, sometimes in 30s. It just depends. Like,
yeah, people, when they hear that, they think it's just so long, like, it's so far away. It's that ball can start bouncing. Like, a situation like Kai, bro, that shit can stop bouncing overnight.
Bro,
and you can't do it. And that's the thing about that hoop shit is, like, for Kai's, some people might look at Kai's situation like, damn, bro, like, that's like the worst. I don't know what I would do. But that's low key a better situation than that one person that's injured coming back. Like, then
exactly.
In your situation, Akil.
Exactly.
Like, Ja'Kai, no matter how much he loves the shit, he can't come back to the shit.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, he's not, you know, going to work out trying to get back into it. You know what I mean? So that just stops.
100%,
you know what I mean? Opposed to some people, and that it forces you to become a man quicker than you are, because I don't care what anybody says, bro. Basketball cripples you as a man. When you're growing up as a man, like, there's, especially if you're going through the normal. See, I didn't choose the right path for basketball because I was already a different nigga from anybody. Always, I always like love fashion and everything like that. And it was just, I was always so broad. But, like, if you follow the norms of basketball, just like how Kyle Kai said, wake up, run to the gym.
Keeps you in a box. Yeah.
It keeps you in a box. And it's like, it's almost like you're living in this dictated community where it's like, you don't know what else is out there unless you go try. And basketball, bro, I always tell everybody, basketball is the only sports profession where you're not allowed to have a side profession. Like, for football, I seen many football players become bodybuilders, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, on the side, or even photographers, or they're able to dress however they want. For basketball, you feel me? You can't do nothing else, bro. If you dress too cool, they call you gay. You feel me? If you're too funny, they call you not focused. You know what I mean? Like, it's so many crazy things that comes with basketball, and it's like, that's why when you hear about all this, when you grow up, it's like 350,000 niggas try to go to the league. 1 in a million niggas make it. And you be like, I got to college, and this just seems so in reach. But
you
break it down, like, there's only a specific person that can make a long career in basketball, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, 100%, bro. That's what was humbling about my experience. Like, you know, we all dreamed of going D1. We want to play D1 so bad. And My fault.
I did that shit.
I
don't know about y'all niggas, but that shit ain't that dope.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, you did it, and I'm not really, you know, too sure about your whole situation. Like, I know, like, a little bit about it, but just my situation, getting hurt and going D2, and, like, you know, realizing, like, basketball at the end of the day is basketball. Like, dude's gonna be good regardless. And 9 times out of 10. You're not going to the league, man. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's very, very slim to none, you know? So, I mean,
it's like a 1% chance.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I enjoy playing at D2 because, like, obviously I still have expectations. Like, I want to win. I want to produce stats, yada, yada. But like I'm not putting a hell of pressure on myself to try to get to the league and stuff like that. Like I'm putting the eggs in different baskets. Like I'm focused on different stuff.
Creating those connections while you out there too.
Exactly, bro. So that's why I feel like obviously within my profession I want to stay connected to sports, but at the end of the day I know like I mean at this point I'm well rounded, so I know I could, you know, dip into other fields.
Yeah, no, my senior year is probably like my most depressing because I literally didn't know what to do. Like it was
exactly
like, I could literally 0% chance coming back to hoops. So I'm like, yo, there's nothing to me. Like, what do I do? So, but like then like that whole year I kind of figured out myself and just the different things that I liked that I didn't realize that I liked. Like,
exactly, bro. Exactly. Man, that's important.
Go ahead.
And I'm saying that's important just for the youngins, you know, growing up. Like you got to realize that. That shit ball, the ball stop bouncing at some point. Like, you can get injured tomorrow. Some drastic could happen. Like, just be prepared, you know?
Man, I start to see now, opposed than when we were younger and, you know, growing up on the Akil Cars, the Jahi Carsons and all those
Kane Reinhardts and all that.
Kane Reinhardts and all those, you know, regular-level basketball players that were still stars to us. I'm starting to see these new stars, like, Josh Christopher and all these Sharif O'Neals and everything like that. Yeah. I feel like in a weird way, these type of players, no matter how much, you know, some people might hate their Instagram presence or their, you know, their clout, you know, how they hang out with this. But bro, it's kind of a weird genius way of playing the game because no matter what you do to those kids, if you take that ball away from them right now,
they got a platform.
They have a platform. They have connections.
They're a brand itself.
They're a brand themselves. And opposed to when we were younger, these big name players that just it was taken away from them. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that platform. So now these new players, like you said, bro, you're like, man, it's tough for niggas to go to the NBA. Yeah. But bro. It was tough for a lot of niggas to go to the NBA because they were so – I feel like a basketball player is so more creative than what they look like and than what they present. So I feel like half of those players that could have made it to the league, like the me and the yous and Jakai's and how if we could have continued to go, yes, we could have made it. But I feel like I was – if I'm speaking for all of us, I feel like I was way too creative for the L, for, you know, going towards that wave. But these Josh Christophers and these Sharif O'Neals, these niggas are breaking that creative barrier. Just like, oh, it's okay to be creative. It's okay to already have a billion followers before you even touch the floor.
Yeah. And
make a brand. It's okay. Like this nigga, these niggas is on the cover of Slam, bro.
Bro, that's what I'm saying, bro. It's crazy. Like, times have changed, bro. Like, these dudes already be verified, got millions of followers. Like, they already got the platform. So, if the ball stopped bouncing tomorrow,
they will get paid.
I just did two movies, and I can't buy a blue check on Instagram. Like, come on, my nigga. Yeah. Like, these little niggas are stars, bro. I'm, like, rocking around with Mello and these little niggas. Bro, these niggas are stars, bro. And it's amazing to see because there was only 5 stars back in the day. Mello. Kobe was a star, but Kobe wasn't a personable star. LeBron, Sebastian Telfair, you know, Jay-Z, you made it when Jay-Z came to your game. I was watching on Ball Is Life. Yeah. There was Beyonce, Russell Westbrook, Gabrielle Union, Chance the Rapper, fucking Kanye West, and I think Obama was in there some fucking where. I don't know.
Yeah.
That shit is crazy. What I mean? We got these young kids wearing Fear of Gods. Bro, that people might look at that shit as...
Yo, it's way crazy now. Like with the drip in high school,
bro. They be putting up to the game like they in the league,
bro.
Niggas wearing Balenciagas, bro.
Bro, and I'm gonna tell you this right here, bro. One of the few reasons why I did not want to go to the league and continue to do the overseas route is because it's either two ways. It's either you could be put around league niggas your whole life and realize that you want to go to the league off of seeing what they're doing. Or you could be around league niggas and realize this is not what you want to do.
Bro, that's 100%, bro. Because, like, I went through the whole process with Derek Williams and when he got drafted and whatnot. And, like, obviously he pushed me to work hard and do all that stuff. And obviously I was still reaching, you know, to hopefully, you know, be able to play in the league and stuff. But it just, you know, put a lot more things in perspective. Like, damn, like, I really got to be in the gym 24/7, like eat, sleep, shit, basketball. And then, like, as I seen, like, my closer friends going through the process now, It's just like, it's tough, like, because they don't even be having the motivation to, put in the time still,
Yeah, and it's not so much, I don't think it's so much the work,
It's
physical
just
work
how
that I'm
hard it
looking at.
is.
Yeah, I'm just like looking, like hanging around, like all my dad's league friends is like looking like, damn, like this lifestyle is cool, but like, bro, like when do you get the rest and re-up? When do you get the, you know what I mean? It just
Yeah.
wasn't inviting to me, and I didn't like how, it's always good to code switch. With this life I'm living now, I have to learn how to code switch and be ethical and learn how to talk in different rooms. Like I have the voice, I feel like, that I'm allowed to talk in any room, no matter who's in attendance or anything.
Facts.
With these athletes, bro, certain athletes that I've seen, saying no names, but it's like, I'm like, damn, bro, that's not you, bro. It's like
Yeah.
you still try to keep a little bit of yourself, but you can't be yourself because of that. You can't be,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? But and it's magnified more because basketball is such a brand, bro. It's such a brand because, I can, if I do something wrong on some acting shit, the whole acting community is not based off of me. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
like, it's the whole
Yeah.
writing community is not, oh, Clifton Powell the third just did this. All actors are stupid. Bro, if
Yeah.
Draymond went to go smoke crack in the bottom of you from Nightingale Plot, like in the club,
Yeah.
these basketball players, these niggas are crazy.
Yeah,
All of them.
exactly. The narrative
All
is
of them.
so crazy, bro. Like the media presents like a narrative for basketball players, and that's why like I'm kind of interested in like going into that field because there's not enough basketball players within the media that really understand like the what they go through on a daily basis.
Exactly. Yeah,
So
bro, that's real.
it's tough, but y'all been watching the playoffs? Who y'all think gonna win it all, man?
Man.
The Warriors.
If you would have asked me last night, I would have said CJ McCollum and them boys, but
Hey man, I put a tweet like 2 weeks ago saying the Blazers have a chance,
Kai,
bro.
I
I don't,
told you, bro.
I never regretted a
I had to
tweet,
hit you
bro.
with the LOL. Like you sick for saying that. They got swept.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I feel like the Warriors are gonna win it again though, regardless with KD or without him, honestly.
Yeah, bro.
What?
I didn't think that was a con like that's why when you said playoffs, who's gonna win, nigga? That's not even a conversation to have, bro.
Yeah.
Wait, do you guys think that the Warriors winning hurts KD's legacy
I don't
without
want to
him?
say I don't want to say yes. Like we can't discredit him because he led them like to get over the hump the last two rings they got, I feel like. So, but at the same time, it's gonna be that argument. It for sure is.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. I mean, if he comes, I hope he comes back for a couple of these games, bro, to be
Yeah.
honest. But if I was KD, I'll come back for if I can even walk or shoot, I'll come back just to be a part of that shit.
Yeah.
If I can do anything.
That's the thing. KD gonna be he gonna leave regardless, I feel like. But I want him to go back and get one for Russ so bad, bro. Cause they really still, regardless, okay, he's able OKC, they're gonna talk about how KD never got a ring, yada yada yada. He would have still been a top 10 player ever. And now he got two rings and they still discredited him. So it's like which route was really the best?
Yeah. All I'm saying is my little nigga Quinn Cook, one of my homeboys. That nigga about to have two rings, baby. So
Bro,
stop playing with me, boy.
hey, I fuck with Quinn Cook, bro. He
That's
he's
my
a
boy.
hooper, bro.
He getting buckets.
He gets buckets.
He do what he do.
Exactly. And
That's real.
that's what I'm saying, bro. All the players that come from, I won't say all, but majority of the players that come for Duke, bro, can hoop and they have an impact in the NBA just because that Coach K, bro. Coach K different.
It's a coach right there. Yeah, bro. The
Exactly, bro.
Warriors are winning that shit, bro. It just
Facts.
is what it is, bro. It's just they're too strong, bro. And whenever there's a player that's just like, bro, whenever there's a player with a Ayesha Curry, I swear.
Bro. And speaking about Ayesha Curry, bro, how did you feel about what she said?
I think that is fucked up because nobody knows how drunk Jada Pinkett Smith gets everybody on that damn show. So I just think it's so fucked up because like obviously she was with her homegirls, bro, talking girl talk,
Yeah,
bro.
just
You feel me?
exactly,
She
bro.
got she felt comfortable, bro. I ain't even about to, you feel me? I'm not mad at that, bro, because a girl's feelings is a girl's feelings, bro. That's how she feels. People, when we were younger, we never would ever be able to understand why we see people like the Kardashians get depressed or the Lamar Odoms be depressed. And then as we grow up, yeah. we start to get success and we start to hit those milestones that we're excited about, and mm-hmm. we realize that they're not as exciting as we thought they were.
Yeah.
Then we know how people feel now. So,
exactly, you know, bro.
There's been times that I feel like I've had the most beautiful girl in the world, and I'll still be complaining. You know what I mean? About facts. Other girls around me. So it's like, you know, I'm not siding with her just because, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If I was Steph, bro, I would have never even commented back.
Yeah, facts.
Like, oh, she's on some bullshit. She always said this shit, bro. Let me just pipe her down and just move on, bro. Like,
exactly. That's funny. I mean, obviously everybody was going to have their two cents to say about it. I just feel like the timing was just bad, you know? Just the fact that he's in the playoffs or whatever, he was going through a slump or whatever, and you know, the fact that she comes out and says that, I think the timing was just wrong. But at the end of the day, like you said, like, they're women, you know, they're gonna have their opinions, we're gonna have our opinions, so at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, bro. So I mean, obviously Steph never heard what she said before, mm-hmm. because if he did, it would have been a different type of, it would have been like a type of what is the word, bro, like a marriage issue, but it's not really nothing to do with their marriage. She said what she said. She was like, man, I don't get noticed no more, bro. I mean, I get it, bro. Like, she has ass, bro. She does that. Had a baby, had like multiple. She feel a little self-conscious, like, wants people to, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
is she about to just be like, yo, Reese come through, like, oh, what's up, Aisha? She's like, oh,
exactly.
Yeah, let's go to the top floor. Let's, like, come on, bro. That's not what she's talking about.
Exactly.
Every nigga that pull up, but like, you feel me? She, I understand what she's saying though. Feel me?
Facts.
But
yeah, I got what
she's saying.
Yeah, but like you said, the timing is different. But you gotta know, bro. You've seen enough females and how they talk. They don't give a damn about no timing, bro.
Exactly. Girl. She was not worried about that. She was her, like, homegirls chopping it up.
He was on the fucking playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah.
with those girls, bro, they probably drank 4 bottles of wine, bro. They probably all chilling. Like, now, girl, what? What's going on with your family?
Yeah.
Was the mic off? She's like, man. You know, man. No shit. Yeah. After the playoff games, that nigga be a little lazy. Man,
yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Because I mean, she's in the ideal situation, and I mean, yeah, you know, bro. So you can't nobody complain or like talk about, like, as if they are in her shoes.
Yeah, but you know,
it is what it is. So y'all think?
That,
wait, do y'all?
That for sure. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, bro. You got it.
No, I said that for sure shook a little things up for that nigga a little bit though.
No, low key.
Like, damn.
Yeah, in the back of his head, he probably was like, "Damn, like, I ain't doing my job.
I ain't doing my job." Like, these bitches don't, man. I can't. What else am I going to do?
Yeah,
man?
Exactly.
I scored 60 last night. I just got about to buy the damn Carolinas. Bought you 2 model babies.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's, yeah.
I gave my little sister's boyfriend a job on my team. Like, what else you want?
Exactly. Man? Exactly. That's crazy, bro. Man, what you listening to, Cliff? Who your favorite artist right now? Give me your top 5, actually.
Artist,
bro.
Bro, y'all niggas might really think I'm weird, bro, but I've been messing with this Billie Eilish little shorty.
Hey, man,
I've heard some things about her, but I haven't really listened to her music. I heard it was solid though.
Bro, she's solid, bro. I've been, you know, Georgia Smith is always on my mind.
Facts.
Always. Georgia. Shit, bro. Bro, I'm gonna go Blueface, bro. I have to.
You got to, bro. LA.
I have to. Like, that's LA's finest. That's my thing. Still rocking Dom.
Okay.
And just on some new shit. It's honestly like bits and pieces, bro. Like, my new group of friends, you might infer the race of these people, but I listen to Tatum Paula a lot.
Tatum Paula.
And like, you know,
bro, no, bro. Bro, you gotta be you. That's what I'm saying. Like, with music, bro.
I'm in the same thing with you, bro.
Yeah, bro. Like, I listen to Tame Impala.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Like, come on now.
That's my shit, bro.
Yeah, I can't sit up and listen to the same music all the time. Like, the Uzis, I love me some Cardi, don't get me wrong, but I just can't listen to the Drakes and all them all the time. Like, I gotta switch it up. So I feel you on that.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever Drake drop a new joint, I get back on Drake and like start listening and then like listen to his old shit. But you know, I have situational songs, bro. Like, my playlist,
100%.
Like, I'm not one of them niggas that like rushes to the internet and like downloads the music. I kind of been rocking with the same playlist since like 2015, bro. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
I feel you, bro.
Like all my old shit and like, you know, the 90s shit and, you know, stuff like that. Like, I'm not really a good nigga to ask for music because I don't really like know new music like that.
Okay.
But like I'm trying to learn, bro. Like Billie Eilish on some like long car rides home from the hookah bar type shit. That's how I'm rocking.
Yeah.
Georgia Smith, I just wanna, oh my man. Oof.
Hey,
my
hey, goodness. Yeah.
All right. Hey, I can't wait until it's like 40 million niggas listening to this. And every time we say something, it's on the internet.
No, fact. Like,
damn.
Bro, because it's gonna be a wrap. You to tune in to Toby Lou, bro. I put Kai on Toby Lou. Like me and Kai, we just be sending each other music type shit.
Nigga, I've been.
Obviously been new, whatever. But like, I really was listening to this nigga. Like, I've been listening to him for a minute now. Like, I want to say like a month in now. It's just smooth. It's like I want to say like R&B pop type.
Mm-hmm.
So he cool. He gonna be at the Reggae Fest at UCLA sometime this month. It's coming up.
Oh, for sure. But dude, I'm a fuck with it.
Yeah, Toby Lou, cool. Toby Lou. I mean, who else? I'm good for listening to the old music too, bro. Like, yeah, you know, back in the day type.
I'm a shuffle type nigga. Like, yeah. I'm not really a two. Like, if like I got like probably like 700 songs in my library. Mm-hmm. If it play, bro.
Yeah.
If it play, it play. You feel me?
Facts. I'll be on my Jill Scott, Lauryn Hill, yep. Music Soul Child, you know, all that type of stuff. So
yeah.
What you got going with your drip, man? What you be rocking nowadays?
Man.
Bro, clip out all the drips.
That's what I'm saying, like, bro. Put me on to something new.
I seen him last week.
Oh, we was at New Boosie's.
Yeah.
New Boosie's, bro. That's my spot. Man, I'm actually going on a show next week to talk about the drip. I don't know if I call it drip, bro. I just call it like, you feel me? Like I'm a thrifty, bro. I'm a thrift store nigga.
Yeah.
Like for real, like to the core. And it's a lot of people don't know this about me, but like I'm not really a shoe guy. I'm not a big shoe
me
guy.
Me neither, bro.
Me neither.
Like at all, bro. Like I'm not a like I have some Saint Laurents that I've been wearing for like 3 years. I have some Karma Des Garçons, like two pair of those, and like two pair of ones. In some Vans, bro,
Facts.
That's all you need, really, though.
Yeah, but like, yeah, like I'm not like a standing in line at undefeated.
Hell no, nah. You will not catch me buying no Jordan standing in line.
Yeah, bro, I'm really low key with it. Thrift store a lot, bro. Like, Buffalo Exchange is my spot.
Yep.
Melrose Trading Post. Just trying to like buy bits and pieces of stuff because I'm not really into
high
like,
fashion
outfits. Yeah, like high fashion outfits because I feel like, you know, with outfits, They'll tell you how it looks. You know what I mean? Like, anybody can buy an outfit.
Facts.
You know what I mean? You could just take that shit right off the shelf. Like, I want that. I want what this person wears. But you go to thrift shop, bro, like, that can really tell what type of style you have,
100%.
Bro, everything's not matching, bro. It's not nothing that, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the ideal. Like, you want people, when you buy your shit, you want people to be like, oh, okay, this is an awkward, you know, collaboration of clothing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, for me, I don't like people be color coordinating and all that. I don't really care for that. Like, I just, you know, throw something on and like like a lot of people use, you know, clothes to express themselves in a way. So I fuck with that too. But yeah, like you said, I'm not into the high fashion stuff either. Like, obviously, I got a couple. Like, I got like a Babe hoodie or like a Supreme hoodies. But like,
you feel me? Yeah,
but I ain't about to buy no $1,000 shirt, $1,000 jeans. Hell no, I'm good on all that.
Yeah, I don't spend money on jeans, but I do be buying some expensive shirts.
Yeah,
but
some expensive shirts.
Yeah, I'm just good for an expensive hoodie. I ain't into the shirts and jeans and shit.
But it is how you rock it, though. Like Cliff said, if you could buy it, you could buy the most expensive clothes, and you could still look wacky.
Facts.
Exactly.
Facts.
And really, and you could buy. And there's ways to buy that high fashion shit and really look cool.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like,
yeah.
There's ways to. And then I'll tell you this, bro. I feel like females dress better in high fashion clothing than men do.
Okay.
I'll say.
Way better.
Just because it's like females, especially when you're bad, you have that nonchalant type of attitude towards your outfit. Because
you already know you fire.
Like, yeah. You're not sitting there cuffing your pants every once in a while. You feel me?
Yeah.
Wiping off your shoes. And, you know, and I feel like high fashion clothing is for every nigga that have never been to a university and went to college before.
Yeah.
Because niggas will realize very quick that your shoes do not matter.
Do not matter, bro.
Fuck you if they do like not matter at all or not.
Exactly, bro.
Like,
bro, I literally only be rocking Vans.
Like, they don't care, bro. Like, shorties do not care how white your off whites are. Like, bro. Like, they do not care, bro. Do they? They only want to know how they can get a pair. Can you plug them with a pair? You can have the worst shoes, but you can have a shoe connect, and it'll be like the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, I have thousands of shoes connects, but I don't use them, bro, because it's like I don't really see the point of getting, like, I would love to have a couple pair of off-whites. Like, mm-hmm. I would love to.
Yeah.
But, like, where I am right now, it's like off-whites have, like, that value depreciates right when I buy it, bro.
Yeah.
I can put $1,000 into a short film or into somebody to edit a couple one of my scripts before I do, like, you know, something like that. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
That, smart. That's what I'm saying. Like, because Kai was bringing this up to me, like, how he invests in himself because his haircuts cost, like, $200. But, he was just talking,
bro. My haircut's not cost $200.
But pretty much, he was saying to invest in yourself or whatever. And then, like, recently, I've just been thinking about more and more. And, like, it's not necessarily buying the most expensive shit, but, like, whatever is going to prepare you and whatever you love doing, like, just to continue to invest in that type of stuff. And then, you know, you'll end up happy in the long run.
Yeah, you got to prepare yourself for the future.
Man, and I learned that shit the hard way, man. Like, at Santa Barbara, I learned it the hard, bro. We were getting $6,000 every 3 months. Granted, rent was kind of expensive, mm-hmm. but, like, bro, I was blowing through so much money trying to keep up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just trying to keep up to, like, what people had this idea of me, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I never really cared about, you know, what people really thought, but it was kind of like for myself. It's like, damn, like, I'm really off the team right now. I'm really, like, what is going to make me happy? Oh, making me happy is going to go to Nobu and spend $345 with one guest. That's the type of shit will make me happy.
Damn,
when I started to think about it, it was like, bro, there's different ways to do that. There's different investments I could have made. There's different, you know, there's mm-hmm. different ways that you can self-fulfill. But, you know, I learned it the hard way, bro. And I'm glad that part of me is gone, bro, as I continue and as I, you know, I start to make, you know,
exactly,
like,
bro,
real money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a process, bro. Like, we're all mature. We're all getting older. And it's funny, like you say that, how we're all just realizing, you know, as we grow up as young men, like, what really matters and what doesn't.
Man, bro, that's
100%, bro.
I know, bro.
100%. So, wait, should we go into the hot takes right now, Kai?
The hot takes.
The hot take?
Yeah, we can.
Go to the hot take.
We do a little semi right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we do a couple questions right now. Then we ask you some specific stuff, and then we get all back right, to some right. hot take. So, if it was $20 million falling off a cliff, or your girl, say a girl you've been in a stable relationship with, she was falling off the cliff, which one are you saving?
Is it Cliff Powell right now, or is it Cliff Powell a year ago?
Right now.
I'm saving a shorty, bro, because if to be honest with y'all, mm-hmm. I ain't trying to brag, $20 million should be coming so very soon, nigga.
Hey, I hear you, bro. hey, exactly.
Or if there's a way for me to grab five of them motherfuckers and keep the bitch too, I might do that.
I would say the same thing, bro. Like, when we talked about this on a previous podcast, like, I'm taking my girl, like, just because, like, money, it don't necessarily bring you happiness. Like, it's the icing on the cake a lot of times. Like, because, you know, like, you're stable, you can make moves, you're able to travel, you do such and such, buy whatever you want. But at the end of the day, like, happiness is going to be what, you know, takes you in the long, like, what helps you in the long run over, you know, the bills. Because people have bills and shit, you know, end up committing, you know, suicide and that type
of
stuff. All right,
never mind, nigga, hold on. Hey, I take that back. Now that you said that, uh-huh. I'm grabbing the money, nigga, because, nigga, you don't know which that bitch is doing on the side. And I don't trust no girl, and I trust way more. I trust money way more than I trust girls, if you hear me.
hey, I hear you, bro.
Hey, LA,
I know, bro. I know.
Bro.
Can't trust him.
I might love her, bro, but I've been into, bro. We talked about this too.
Exactly, bro. Several times.
Situations where it's like, hold on, bro. Like, I thought that was the case, but that's not the case.
That's not
the
case. That
$20 million, bro, it won't buy love, bro, but it'll help you search for it.
It'll put you in a different tax bracket.
Hell yeah. What about you, Kai? What would you do, bro?
What I do?
I'm probably taking the 20 mil. Like, I never really been in a deep relationship yet, so I don't know. Yeah, so I'm taking the
20 Kai mil. Never really been in like a real relationship yet, so he cool.
That's good shit.
Yeah, he's chilling.
Congrats.
Kai chilling. All right, Cliff. Are condoms overrated?
Are condoms overrated?
Or underrated?
Well, that probably is a single-handedly dumbest question I've ever heard in my life. Yes, they're rated just where they need to be, nigga. What do you mean?
Wait,
with the UC Santa Barbara, bro. That was one of my best friends in the whole wide world was a condom.
Nah, bro, because some dudes be playing it like the pull-out game. It's a way to do birth control.
Man, listen, bro. I'm about 2 minutes either way. With a condom or without a condom. So whatever that shit, whoever, you feel me, if there's one in reach, I'm for sure going to use it for that extra 30 seconds. But regardless, I get off way too quick, bro, to even be thinking about not using no condom.
No,
so
I hear you, bro. And it be dudes, like you keeping it 100. Like, it be dudes out here fronting, like, they be going for an hour, like, chill.
Bro, I don't want to hear that shit, bro. That girl is terrible looking, bro. Her shit is dry. Like, there's no way that you're just in there for an hour.
Going for an hour is dead.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, at that point, it's a workout, and I'm not here to work out.
Yeah, you in the wrong profession, my brother. If you're fucking for an hour.
Exactly, bro. Hey, you got a go-to DM line?
Oh, yeah.
You going to share that?
Oh, yeah.
You going to share that?
Oh, damn. All right. Shit. All right. My go-to DM line. Fuck. Where is this about to go at, bro? Where is this about to be?
This is going to be on social media, on the, like, you know, Instagram, Twitter type.
I can't. You just got to give us an example.
Give us an example, bro. Don't give us your best shit.
It's going so well right
now. Don't give out the whole formula.
All right. Well, I'm a very precise DMer. Mm-hmm. I feel like I DM now, like, with my career now, I DM for connections. A little bit more than, you know, relations and, like, with shorties and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, when I would see – if I see a shorty that's, like, hella bad, her style is cold, like, I'm really reaching out to them just to let them know that, bro. Like, I'm not really worried about – you feel me? Not really worried about continuing it going on because it's about building relationships, you know what I mean?
Facts.
And it's been so many shorties that I've came across where I get so mad that it's like, damn, like, you're really a cool shorty. And once we have relations – it's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, in this time in my life, I haven't really worried too much about relationship-wise and, like, hooking up with shorties. It's been, like, who am I going to invite to my birth? Like, who's going to come to my birthday? Who's going to come to if I have a screening for this? Who's going to,
man, you know, yeah. Just looking like for that. Support, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like I can share the line. Like, you know, I'll be like, shit, off the back, if I like their style, I'd be like, I like your style, keep doing what you're doing. Like, that's kind of my
short name. And that's crazy, bro. Like, you say that, like, and since you're being so, like, precise and, like, just straight up, I feel like that makes, like, some girls go, like, crazier, like, in the sense that, damn, like, I didn't see what he on. Like, he just come in the DMs like that, because they used to seeing that same shit, like, oh, what's good, what's your number type, you know, like, oh, let's link.
Bro, in a minute, they gonna call my shit the same shit as many times I sent that shit out. Boy.
Man.
That's like a broken record now. I don't like your style. You going to dumb, like, yep. Damn. But, like, you know, I genuinely feel like this, you know, there's so many people on Instagram, bro.
So many, bro.
And you can find that one shorty with between that 700 and 800 or 700 to 3,000 follower count, bro. That's my ideal shorty right there.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Facts. That's wild. Yeah, that's funny, though. Because everybody got their go-to. I mean, you know, I was once in the...
What's your go-to, bro? What's your savage go-to?
I mean, my go-to would be, like, I would just send, like, I'll take a screenshot of the contact information, you know, where it says name, last name, number. And I would just send it, and I'd be like, yo, you got time for a quick survey?
Jesus, Akil. That is not good. That is not okay.
But I just be straight to it, bro, because, like, I ain't got time to waste. But I ain't getting in no DMs in a minute, bro. I don't
Kai, what is your DMs like, bro?
Bro, I don't DM, but, like, I'll, like, comment on the story.
Yeah, so the story, like, that's...
You do what Tim says, build a relationship and then see where it goes.
That's right. Okay. Well, Reese, yours was probably the worst.
But that's what I was, but about the thing, though, like with y'all building a relationship to the DM, like, I feel like, I don't know, man. Honestly, like, I have my best friend. She's a girl, but, like, it's hard to really just be friends with a lot of these females. And not because it don't be because of me, because they think that I'm just trying to beat. Like, I'd be genuinely trying to hang out with some chicks, and they be thinking, like, I want to beat or something. I'm like, nah, like, I'm good on that.
There's a science to that, though.
You got a bad rep, Akil.
No, yeah, I ain't got no bad rep. What you talking about? You got no bad
bro,
rep.
Bro, I'm just now figuring out about my rep. Like, I guess my rep is terrible out in these streets.
Really?
Like, I'm just now hearing, like girls, like, shorties will mess with me for a couple of days. No, I heard about you. Like, what is this?
What?
Like,
see,
who is doing this?
See, that's the thing. Like, I have very few girls that I've ever messed with in LA. Like, very few, maybe one or two. So, like, that's why I ain't got no rep in LA. Like, I don't get, like, people in LA, the females in LA, they be acting weird, bro. Like, I don't be having
me neither, bro.
So, I've been in Oregon. I've been out here. Out here, I ain't talked to nobody out here, but, like, in Oregon, you know, I've had my past experience.
Well,
I wish I was
lying like you guys, but
what?
I'm not. Fuck out of here. Both
I ain't lying. I'm not lying. I've had a girl.
Fuck out of here. Akil, man.
I've had a girl.
Man, all right, whatever, man. Sound good. Whatever. Yeah, I need a whole new group of friends because I am tainted in these LA streets, I guess. I thought I was a myth. Like, some people be like, because it's so easy to say that people know me out here because of my father, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's been, like, my whole life. Like, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I know Cliff. Yeah. Like, bro, there's very few niggas that actually know me,
yeah, exactly.
Like, they're very, very few. So it's like, you know, I feel like that's where it starts with, like, the shorties. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just... I feel like they get me mixed up with my pops. Like, nah, that wasn't me that slid in. That was probably my dad.
You bring up pops. Do you feel like there is a lot more pressure for you, like, within, like, the acting world, just because the success your dad has had?
I think about it sometimes. Definitely is on my mind. It's definitely a thing that I've talked to my father about, but. It's just the route that I'm taking. It's just a little different than his.
Okay.
And I'm going from an area of all around businesses in terms of, like, I have an app that I've been developing for about a year.
Okay.
That's about to launch.
I was just about to ask you about it.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, we just got big time investors and that's just going well. And it's just about to get busy with that. But I started as a writer. A screenplay writer. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that my dad never got into. Because of his schedule, once he got famous, he just blew up fast.
Yeah.
So it wasn't no time to have any developing projects. It was like he was on a plane here, plane there. Then he had me. You know what I mean? It wasn't like anything premeditated. With me, I'm kind of mapping this out as a science. Like I'm being very mathematical with my process.
Okay.
In terms of what projects I take, what projects I don't, and I feel like I'll end on behind the camera than on in front of the camera. You know what I mean?
And there's a lot of money behind the camera.
Yeah, but I really want to be. I want to be in front of the camera as long as I can.
Uh-huh.
But like how my brain moves with like writing and everything like that, it's like it surprises me sometimes.
Yeah.
And when I go when you ask that question about pressure, I feel like there was more pressure on my father than it was on me because. At this point now, look who I get to learn from. You know what I mean?
Like yeah,
there's not any pressure unless the only pressure you do is put it on yourself. Like if I don't speak that into existence, if I don't talk about it like that, there's no real pressure. Mm-hmm. The pressure, you know what the pressure was for us, nigga? Being on the bench for four quarters and coming in with 6 minutes left to go in the game. That's pressure. With this shit, it's like, bro, I'm not scared of nothing, bro.
Exactly.
Like that's being nervous, bro. Like I caught myself in a director's audition, mm-hmm. and that's like the last audition before you book the if it's a feature film. I'm sure they usually do it with features. So okay. I'm in a room with one of the biggest directors in the whole world, and you know top actors and one of the biggest cast directors in the world, and they're asking me about my process and stuff, and they're asking me about why I'm so poised and why I'm so confident. And I brought up that situation, like, have you guys ever been on the verge of redshirting and your coach puts you in with 18 seconds left to go in the game? That's what you call being nervous. That's what you call, have you ever been in the gym in front of 50,000 college coaches
college,
and you already got mail from 50 of them and they're waiting to see how you play against Tyler fucking Dorsey.
Yeah.
That's what you call pressure. That's what you call, you feel me? That's what you call being nervous. That's what you call having cold feet. Being in the director's room, bro, I'm not scared of that, bro. It's either they get you or they don't. If you do good work, if you do good work, they're gonna pass you along. You know what I mean? So it's not as crazy as, you know, as scary as what people think. You know what I mean?
Facts. And that, that's crazy. I didn't even know you had an app going. Could you speak on that, bro, a little bit or no?
Yeah, no. So it's called Sound Off. It's basically Tinder for music, bro. It's for like upcoming artists. They say, all right, so I'm just going to use you two as example. Uh-huh. Akil is an artist. Kai is a user of the app. Akil uploads a profile onto my app like he's uploading a social media profile. Like, he'll say his bio a little bit. He'll say his name, his age, his Instagram handles, and, you know, his Spotify, iTunes, if he has any. Or it'll just be an MP3 file of his music. Basically, he'll enter a contest that'll either have to do with his location. It'll say Santa Barbara, LA versus the Bay. Mm-hmm. And then since you're part of the LA category, being from LA, you'll enter your song into whatever genre your song is to in the contest. And then users like Kai will go to the app and go to it and be like, okay, you know, there's a contest going on. Oh, I want to listen to a hip hop LA versus the Bay contest. He goes to it, listens to 15 seconds of each person's song, either votes for Cliff or Akil. Okay, Akil's on the app. His song is dope, but Cliff is my boy. All right, let me vote for Cliff. Vote. Cliff goes on to the next round. Akil goes on to the next round as well, but maybe Ja'Kai wants to listen to Akil's music again.
Mm-hmm.
Akil's music is saved in the category of listen to on in Ja'Kai's, like, you know, library or however.
Okay.
Since he has a, you know, he's a user. So all he does is vote for it, listen to 15 seconds. Oh, that's dope. That's cool. That's whack. Move on. So say if Akil or Cliff continues to go to the fourth round in the contest, if Ja'Kai voted for any of those people, he gets what you call a fan score. So now Ja'Kai is getting a fan score of, if he gets up to a fan score of like 50, Ja'Kai just got Whole Food gift cards, or he might got Drake tickets or stuff like that. So it's a push and pull system.
Yeah.
So it makes, you know, Ja'Kai continue to use the app, and it makes you as an artist be able to get your music out. And after every contest, there's a cash prize of $300. So there's a way for you to get paid weekly as an artist to be able to be, you know, an artist.
Yeah.
So at the end of the so if Kai wants to be like, yo, that song sucks, he can write in your comments, mm-hmm, oh, that song is dope, that song is cool. And how we start to make more money, it goes, let's make a way for Akil to buy insight. So now Akil wants to go, we start seeing on Akil's social media that he's having a show in LA. And then he goes to our app and pays 75 cents to see what people in the world are really liking his music. Then he sees that, damn, why would I have a concert in LA and have a show when everybody on this app, I have 40,000 viewers and they love me. They're all in San Diego. How about I go down to San Diego and have a concert or a show?
That's tough.
The shit freaky, bro. The shit's going on.
Yeah, that shit gonna be successful. That's crazy.
When's that launch?
It's launching. So June 20th, we have a concert in Long Beach. We have like a show that we're like opening up for. It's like a Coachella type of thing. We're having like a little festival and we're opening up for some artists and stuff like that. So probably like mid-August it'll launch. But we have our Instagram page. We made it a couple months ago, and it's honestly growing because we took down some pictures. We have about like 6,000 followers on there, bro. Like people fuck with the idea, and we got some big money behind it. So this shit is going, it's gonna get going, bro.
Yeah, that's
gonna
get going. Yeah, that shit's gonna be fire, bro.
It's literally crazy. Just another interactive app for music, bro. Yeah. And it's like we were trying to figure out what's gonna make a Ja'Kai listen to these songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that he's able to discover new music. Like, people always be like, yeah, I discovered him from SoundCloud, but did you really?
Exactly.
You
know what I mean?
And how we get money from these companies like Sony Music, Interscope, they're going to be buying our data from our app. So it's like, okay, this Akil kid has enough data to be sold to a record company so they can find new talent.
Okay.
Bro, nothing's worse than a record label person having no connections, like the lower level, like like the young record companies.
Yeah.
They're actively trying to find new music. Yeah. And they could go to this app and listen to Kill Reese really go down like on some cool shit. And yeah. on that last, and that the best part about the app is that last round, the first round is 15 seconds, second round's 30 seconds, third round is a whole minute of your song if it's a minute long. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth round is the winner, and you have a live in-app contest. So it'll be like Instagram Live will be the last thing.
Yeah.
So it'll be like tune in. I have this, I have that. So
damn,
it's gonna be solid, bro.
That's gonna be fire, excited, bro. Yeah.
It's been some time that we've been working on this shit.
That's definitely fire.
Yeah, bro. Let's keep that shit going, bro.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to keep shit going, bro. Honestly, you know,
stay busy type.
Man, it's because with this acting shit, bro, there's a lot of downtime and it's a lot of downtime. But when you're busy, bro, you're busy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't talk. Like when I was shooting games people play, I couldn't do nothing because like I thought I was gonna either have more lines, you know. You got to wake up early just in case there's rewrites. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's a process.
Yeah. But, so how is that going? Like just being around like the Lauren Londons and like some of the famous actors, like how's the process just being around them and being able to learn from them?
Bro, see, people ask me that all the time. It's like, bro, anybody that knows me, like yourself and Kai, y'all know that I've been around that shit since I was like,
you have a huge personality. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And I've been like with my father, and my father's been in huge movies as well. And it's like being able to see, you know, the Jamie Foxes and the Eddie Murphys, and being able to like really see how that's going. It really prepared me to be on this set and not, you know, I felt like I was home. You know, I felt like I was like working with Jackie Long and you know, Lauren. I never really met Lauren London on set because we shot different. Uh-huh. But Jackie Long was one of my guys that I worked with, and you know, he showed me the wave, and it was crazy. People didn't know that. Jackie Long, in my first movie ever, when I was 9 years old, I shot the movie Jada, and I was like just a regular neighborhood kid, but Jackie Long played my dad's son.
Okay.
So it was just so crazy seeing everything full circle, and in this show, I basically played Jackie Long's son. You feel me?
Yeah.
On some crazy shit like that, so it's pretty.
That's wild.
It's
yeah.
It's a dope experience, bro, and it's all about the momentum. And like my agency and my management is just so dope, bro, because they really, it's nothing like knowing that somebody's working for you. You know what I mean?
Man,
like helping you out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can really take, I'm not saying I take breaks, but the reason me having a manager, and just for the aspiring actors out there, really try to, if there's going to be a time where you have to do it by yourself. But if you have an opportunity to get a manager or agent, just go and get that, bro, because it's nothing that wakes you up faster in the morning than knowing that you got an email from, you know, for an audition, or email for a publicity thing that you have to do and stuff like that. That shit is dope.
Yeah, facts.
It wakes you up on time, bro. It wakes you up at 9.
Keeps you motivated.
Exactly, bro.
Yep.
We know how that shit go.
Exactly, bro.
Checking the mailbox every week, trying to see what letter we got so we can post it on Snap.
Exactly, like, come on, baby. Bro. It's the same thing. So, like, who are like some of the artists you looked up to just growing up, or like, you know, you from your transition from basketball recently to like acting and stuff, like who are some of the people you look up to?
Man, just I look up to any.
Hello?
Hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, my bad. I got a call. Like Idris Elba, Jamie Foxx, my father, of course. You know, just like I like Jimmy Fallon, bro. Like he is his presence, like in terms of like how he's able to keep a. There's been times where craziest people on his show, and he's able to still engage in this awkward conversation and make it funny. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I love that. That's the type of stuff that I love. You know, it's not so much, you know, people that I looked up to. It's just people that I pattern my discipline and my behavior after, you know what I mean?
Okay,
I don't necessarily want to have the career that they had, or, you know, I don't want to necessarily, you know, be who they are, but there's been people with way worse careers than any of those people that I name that I look up to in terms of knowing what to do right and what to do wrong, because, you know, there's no reason for me to fail, because I seen my dad go through trial and error. I seen him go through it. You know what I mean? So it's like walking into the class with all the answers, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
it, I only fail if I didn't bring a fucking pencil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Okay.
And if I continue to, you know, if I continue to grow and I continue to, you know, just stay structured, you know, everybody feels like they have the answers, bro. Like, I can say that I know how this shit goes, but I don't really know. You know what I mean? Everybody's going through trying to just be who they can be. You know what I mean?
Fact,
so
bro.
it's no real, you know, real answer for that.
Yeah, I feel you. Do you have anything to tell people that are, like, are afraid to move on from basketball?
Yeah, bro. Just do it, bro. And don't try to be independent too quick. And one of the things that I did was I tried to be independent. Well, one thing that I did do, I forced myself into adulthood faster than what I needed to.
Okay.
In terms of leaving college, which was the best thing I've ever done, but, you know, trying to, you know, go for that few months, go live on my own and go spend that money that I told you before and try to be independent and keep up with the, you know, the pace of the world.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that, bro. If you have a family, bro, I don't care if you're 28, 30, 32, 40, bro, it doesn't matter. If you have a family that you're able to stay with them, or if you're able to be supportive, if you're able to be loved, do that. Yeah. Because this transition is easy if you have support. And one thing that I would say is put yourself on a schedule, no matter what it is. If you're making a transition from basketball to whatever, or making a transition into basketball, however it is, transition at any way, put yourself on a schedule. Like, one of the things I used to do in college is when I was making a transition is everything. I knew that I wanted to do entertainment later on, so I knew that came with a schedule. So everything that I did, from my push-ups in the morning to my daily breathing to, like, what place I'm going to eat today, I put it on my phone, on my iCalendar, as in a schedule. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just to start to follow, you know, just to form yourself that it's not your time anymore. It's other people's time. It's, you know, it's not about you.
Yeah.
This is the real world, bro. Nobody cares about, you feel me, who your dad is and whoever that is. And I thought that I was going, oh, I want to be an actor. Oh, perfect. Okay, cool. My dad will just set me up. No, it didn't work like that, bro.
Yeah.
It does not work like that. Yeah. Denzel Washington's son had to go to college and had to go through a theater program, had to go through this, through that. He had to do extra work. He had to, bro, before he was even in a show. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter who you are, bro. If you don't have the discipline nor the talent nor the, like, skill to get better, bro, it's, you know, that transition is going to be hard for you. You know what I mean?
Facts, bro.
I would say just make the transition. Just make it. Because you know, if you're even thinking about making a transition, you know that you fell even out of love with something, or you found it fell in love with something. So you might as well just chase that shit. You might as well.
Yeah, bro. You speaking of facts, bro. That's real shit, though. Honestly.
Like, if it even comes up to in your mind, like, I'm not saying, like, being tired and being like, damn, I don't want to play basketball no more.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? That's not what I mean. But if it's like, damn, that shit is interesting over there.
Yeah.
You've instantly fell out of love with what you were doing. If it's a thought, then you might as well just, and if there are signs that are telling you to go chase it. And one of the things that happened to me while I was going through my transition, I randomly, bro, my one of my friends, Emily Miller, she's one of my homegirls, one of my close female friends, she came into town. She lives in Westwood. I went over to her house, and her sister was just learning how to do, like, some type of palm reading, or it was some weird, like, something.
Yeah.
And I was like, literally, I had my nigga, when I left Santa Barbara after my coach did me dirt, and I can say that, bro, now, after my coach, you know, disrespected me, when I had left Santa Barbara, I was, bro, I, like Kai said, bro, I had nothing to me, bro.
Yeah.
I was going to, bro, listen to this, nigga. If my dad ever heard this, he'll kill me. I was going to Magic Expos trying to be a magician, nigga. Nigga, I was like, bro, what am I going to do? Because I cannot go back to L.A. while everybody sees this big, wiry personality. Yeah. And I cannot say that I am not doing anything, because I've always done something that, you know, that people heard of. You know what I mean? So I needed to keep that shit going. That's just who I am. Like, I'm always a person that somebody will hear something about me doing something.
Exactly.
So I'm like, damn, I can't fade out like this. You know, I can't die out. So I'm doing magic, and I'm like trying to learn all these different things. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm gonna do poetry. Maybe that's gonna be my thing for life. And I'm like, well, I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
And I tried that, didn't like it. Then I'm like, okay, I'll write a little bit. Love that. But I'm like, okay, writing, but like what type of writing? Mm-hmm. Didn't know. So I go back to, and I was doing modeling a little bit, and I go back to her house, and I'm like, man, read my palm. Just tell me what the fuck. If it says I'm gonna be a virgin or I'm not gonna do nothing for the rest of my life, I just want to hear it now so yeah. I can just accept it.
Exactly.
She goes, you're trying to make a transition. You don't really, bro, I kid you not, these words. You're trying to make a transition. You don't know if you should do it or not. That was the first card. She fills my palms again or some shit. She goes, there's different thoughts in your head about not being as good as your father or not being there, you know, not being there for your family and shit like that. And I'm like, okay, that hits me. And then it goes, something's going to happen for your career today that's going to make you realize that's what you need to do. Bro, as she finishes the palm, my phone is blowing up. And my phone is blowing up. I'm like, bro, what is going on? And I get this call from one of these, that like this agent. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, bro, you don't know me like this, but I sent your pictures over to this Nike dude and they want to use you for the national Nike ad campaign. And I'm like, what? I'm like, nigga, what? And I'm like, all this, like, I just had 10 calls from this nigga. So it wasn't that changed everything because I was still on pace to go to another college.
Yeah.
But it was me going and doing that Nike shoot, knowing that it had nothing to do with basketball. In the last minute, they made it into a basketball ad without really informing me. And then that's when my eligibility from college was deleted. Damn. So I had no NCAA eligibility anymore. You know what I mean? And I got the bread for it, but that was basically just kind of how how Akai's thing is like, it was taken away from you. So you're forced to adapt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I couldn't play to college. I could not go to college, bro. I could not go back to college. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I think a lot of people didn't know that. I think, I don't know. Obviously, a lot of people don't know your situation because, I mean, you just didn't speak up on it, obviously, and just come out publicly and say, well, this is what happened. But yeah, like, I feel like a lot of people understood your situation. Like, I mean, it's something just to learn from in a sense, too.
Yeah, bro. It's like that. It wasn't the money. It wasn't the breakthrough with that Nike commercial that was going to get me to where I want to be at. But it was more about God saying, I'm putting you out here and I know that you're going to be able to do well with this. I know you're going to be able to succeed. And it had nothing to do with how much money I was getting paid for it. And if anybody else was going to see the commercial, because listen, bro, the commercial didn't even air, bro.
Yeah, that's
the commercial is not even coming out, but I already signed on the dotted lines. So it's like, that's over. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, it's like for anybody that just wants to do it, bro, if it's right for you, there's going to be a significant amount of life signals and signs that's going to steer you towards what you want to do. 100%. And if you're searching for those signs, they will not come. That means that you are not in it for that. That means that you don't really want to do that. You just don't want to do what you're doing.
Damn.
If those signs are going to come, bro, I'm promise you.
Those
signs are going to come, bro. For real.
Yeah.
That's some real shit.
That's real shit, yeah. Shit, I mean, but yeah.
We should have put LJ on this one.
Bro, it's hard to get in contact with LJ, bro. He be moving.
Yeah, I ain't talked to my guy in a minute.
In a minute, bro. But is there anything we should expect from you in the future? Like, we can go ahead and wrap this up in a minute. Is there anything, like any, you know, new movie shows we should expect to see you in or anything?
Well, I have a movie coming out in October.
Okay.
It's called Torrance. It's a basketball film with Ben Affleck. And hopefully I'm all through that motherfucker. I should have a speaking line or two, but you never know at the end of the day.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, editing and everything like that. So that's going to be a cool little movie to watch. I'm doing some big pitches to some networks. I'm not going to tell you which network it is.
But okay.
It should be some shows on the air with my name on it pretty soon within the year, hopefully, if all goes well. And, bro, honestly, just actively auditioning, just staying ready, bro. And I'm going to say that I'm going to stay out the club on Thursday because it's my birthday, bro. But who knows, bro?
Your birthday's on Thursday?
Yeah, bro.
Bro, I'm gonna be in LA, bro. So I'm gonna have to link. We good.
Let's do that. Yeah, definitely. Let's do that.
All right. So, yeah, bro. Yeah, I appreciate you, you know, taking out the time. Hell yeah. And then, you know, doing this for me and whatnot. You're going to probably soon probably have another one with you in a couple months, yeah. if anything. But it's another Speak On It episode. I have my boy CP, my boy Kai on here. And, you know, I'll be back, if not a couple days, in a week. You already know.
Don't forget to follow Akil _5_Reese_Hats_FastBreak
All right, we gone.
All right.